to the Pick and Slip. I'm Gavin Miller here with
Braden Pittman.
And we are here right after the NBA draft, which just took place yesterday at 8 p.m. A lot of trades during the draft, a lot of stuff during the offseason, right before the draft.
Yes.
So we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, there was a good amount of questionable decision making, I would say. There were a couple picks that I was like, what was the thought process there? For instance, number one pick, Anthony Edwards, I feel like, was definitely not who I expected to go number one.
I feel like, did you expect LaMelo?
I expected LaMelo, or I expected James Wiseman in a trade, or I expected them to trade it before. I knew that Anthony Edwards was considered to be a top three to top five pick, but just looking at how he plays, looking at his stats, and looking at his responses to media questions, you would not think that he would go number one, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, he averaged close to 20.
Yeah.
He had like 19.7, I think, or something like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
his numbers weren't bad in and of themselves.
Numbers aren't bad.
His shooting numbers were very terrifying, in my opinion. He shot like 40% from the field. He shot very poorly.
Yeah. Anthony Edwards has shot the lowest field goal percentage and three-point percentage since like a player in the 90s coming out of the draft. He shot 40% from the field and around 32% from the three coming out of college.
Shooting guard. And I think what they're looking for with him there is, out of all the highest players, he's the one that fits the most. He doesn't need the ball in his hands all the time. And with D'Angelo Russell, obviously you don't want a player that's going to need the ball all the time. And then also James Wiseman, I don't think is a very good fit for them because he's a center and they have Karl Anthony Towns. LaMelo Ball is a point guard and they have D'Angelo Russell. So I think that they went with the pretty basic pick of, okay, then we'll get Anthony Edwards because he's the one that isn't the center point guard. But there were just so many other people that I think you could have either traded down. I think that like Denny Avdija, I think is how you say his name, a really good crafty playmaking forward would have fit better there. Maybe Obi Toppin, who ended up going to the Knicks, would have fit as kind of like a, I don't want to say Zion Williamson type because that's obviously not true, but more of just like that type of player, like a dominant force down low that's going to get boards and dunk on people, which Karl Anthony Towns isn't really a huge, like, physical. He's obviously massive. He's like, what, 6'7", I think, somewhere around there.
Yeah, around there.
Yeah, but he's not like a dominant physical player, really.
Yeah.
So that could have added that. And then I don't know, man. Just seems like Anthony Edwards was maybe the worst pick they could have made.
Yeah, so how I feel about Anthony Edwards is I do feel like the Timberwolves drafted him basically just off of position-wise. But I do think that if they really wanted LaMelo, who, if you guys didn't know, played in a EuroLeague, the EuroLeague team he was on finished worst in the league, but LaMelo did win Rookie of the Year, averaging like 17-7-7.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think his shooting splits or his shooting percentages were anything like too crazy.
They weren't bad either, from what I've seen. I watched a couple. It doesn't look like he's shooting poorly. He definitely has that weird hitch in his jump shot that's characteristic of all the ball boys.
Yeah.
Which, you look at all these players that are like the sons of NBA players are just like, I'm thinking of somebody else right now, but I forget. But Lonzo and LaMelo specifically, who have grown their whole lives playing basketball, you know, that's been their number one priority and it's been pretty much forced upon them since they were like 5 year olds. I just don't understand how they've made it this long while still shooting like this.
I mean,
you know,
I don't know, because I feel like a lot of players throughout high school and college, your form doesn't matter too much until you get to the NBA. Like, I don't know, I feel like, because in college or high school, it's pretty easy to shoot. You get to college, it's a little harder.
I think the big reason is because these kids, like, LaMelo Ball isn't really built like a basketball player at all. And so if you look back in high school, it makes sense why he has to do what he does to shoot, where he like pulls it all the way back behind his head first, because he was like 5'4 as a freshman in high school. He was like minuscule and so skinny. Like he probably couldn't even thrown the ball that far if he wouldn't have cocked his arms back like that.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, I don't know, you'd think that growing up in a basketball family like that, somebody would teach you how to shoot the right way.
I mean,
like, I know how to shoot. And my dad wasn't an NBA player or a college basketball player.
Yeah.
And I started playing when I was like 9, not when I was 5.
I know what you mean. I mean, LaMelo does shoot. He like brings the ball into his chest and then releases it outwards.
It's just such a weird form.
I know what you mean, but I just don't think they really focus on too much in high school, because high school, like I said, is not that hard to shoot on. You get to college,
yeah,
it's a little, like, you got to adapt a little bit. It's not too much harder, I feel like, to shoot on. Then you get to the NBA where they push the 3-point line back and you're surrounded by a bunch of fans. The best
defenders in the world.
Yeah, too. The best defenders in the world, surrounded by a bunch of fans. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People moving all in the stands. Yeah, I feel like that's why a lot of people change their form once they get to the NBA.
Yeah.
I mean, Paul George changed his form once he got to the NBA. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of players.
But LaMelo, upsides to him, confidence. He definitely knows that he's a good basketball player. Ball handling, I could see in 2 to 3 years him being considered one of the best ball handlers in the league. And his shooting's not that bad either. And he's a good playmaker. He, like Lonzo, has one of those great he's great at outlet passes. He's pretty big and gets boards fairly consistently, considering that he plays point guard. He's a good basketball player.
Yeah.
And he went number three to the Hornets.
Yeah, and I think we just skipped James Wiseman. So let's go back to James Wiseman. James Wiseman to me is very, very, very interesting. This is who I was assuming he was going to go to the Warriors. I feel like everyone, you know, knew he was going to go to the Warriors.
If he didn't go to the Timberwolves and if the Warriors hadn't traded down or anything.
Yeah, then. And I mean, like you said, the Timberwolves have Karl Anthony Towns. They really had no need for James Wiseman. Who, like, what is James Wiseman, 7'7"? He's around
He's
there.
7'1". Yeah.
He's 7'1".
7'1", 250.
Yeah. So James Wiseman, he has a nice little mid-range. Don't see him take too many threes, which he'll probably try and develop.
Yeah.
Well, you know, once he gets in the NBA, which obviously he is now in the Warriors, probably a really good team to help him develop that three-point shot. Really good defender, really good shot blocker, down low, can bully people, gets boards. Overall, a really good player. And he only played, what, 3 games?
Yeah, 3 games. His average college career.
19-10 in those 3 games. You know, 19 points, 10 boards.
3 blocks, but again, it was 3 games. We're mostly going off of, first of all, his physical stature. He looked like he was carved out of stone. He's like very DeAndre Ayton built, just like crazy muscular, huge, definitely in that build. And DeAndre Ayton, still a really solid player. He averaged like, what, 20 and 10 last year? He's a great player. He just gets kind of overshined by Trae Young and Luka Doncic, who of course have been dominating the draft class. Yeah, and just the fact that he has Devin Booker on his team too. But James Wiseman, definitely built like that. And then also, just his high school play was incredible. You see a 7-footer, again, that is built like James Wiseman. He just was playing great. Do you remember what his injury was that made him not be able to play? It was an injury, right?
Yeah. I think it was a leg injury, I think. I don't know like specifically what it was. I think it was...
I think he got suspended for a little while. I think he had an ankle injury, and then also there was some sort of suspension.
No. So you want to move on to the 4th pick?
Yes. The number 4 pick was Patrick Williams, who I wasn't super familiar with, of course. He played for Florida State.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he is a small forward. He's 6'8", 225. He's like a fairly muscular guy. Looks NBA built. Like, you see a lot of these new players that are coming in after their first or second or 1 or 2 seasons in college, or like older players coming straight out of high school. They look really skinny and they need to put on muscle and stuff. He looks like he's about where he's going to be for his career. He probably is going to put on a little bit more muscle, but he looks more NBA built
than a lot of players. Brian, I'm going to tell you right now, this is a terrible pick. I'm going to be honest. He played, I don't think he said, you did not know too much about him, which is fine. Patrick Williams did not start a single game in college. He said played 1 season at Florida State. He was a 6th man. He averaged 9 points a game, 4 boards and an assist, averaged more turnovers than assists. He averaged about 2 turnovers a game on 1 assist. So that's he shot 40% from the field and 30% from the three. I mean,
see, from the very little that I've seen about him, the one thing that he does do is score.
Yeah.
And he's a decent defender, too, from what I've seen as well. And the Bulls, I mean, they're looking for that kind of wing guy, kind of, to supplement Lauri Markkanen and Zach LaVine if they keep him. And I think that he fits solidly there. I don't think that this was an excellent pick. I think that if you're using the fourth overall pick to grab somebody who didn't start.
Exactly. I mean, I don't.
That just seems like a questionable decision. Again, I'm not too familiar with Florida State basketball, and especially not with Patrick Williams in particular. From what I've seen, he looks like a solid enough player, but he definitely does not look like the type of player that you use the fourth overall pick on.
He 29 games play, average about 22 minutes a game. Yeah, I mean, 45% from the field, 3-point percentage was 32.
Yeah.
Averages two free throws a game. So doesn't get to the line a crazy amount. Yeah. He's going to average two a game. You're getting about fouled once a game. Like I said, averages more turnovers than assists.
Yeah.
A block a game, a steal a game. So from what I see, I look at him as more of a defender more than an offensive player. I feel like, I mean, averages both a steal and a block. His shooting splits aren't the greatest. 45% in college is not terrible, I guess. Yeah. But 30% from the three.
That's not great, especially in the shortened line.
And it's only going to get harder once you get to the NBA.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
so you can expect to see those numbers probably drop a little bit.
Yeah.
One of the biggest indicators, actually, of how you're going to do shooting-wise is free throw percentage, because that's the one thing that never changes. In high school and NBA, you're still shooting the same free throws.
It says right here, top 100, he was ranked 29th.
Yeah.
And he got picked at the fourth overall pick.
Yeah, that's just a weird pick.
I don't...
I'm going to jump down a little bit from the fourth pick all the way to the 55th pick, I'm pretty sure. 54th pick, excuse me. Just to the Pacers' only pick of the draft. They had traded their first-round pick this year to the Bucks, I believe, last year for Malcolm Brogdon. They got Cassius Stanley, shooting guard out of Duke, which is always a good team to get quality players off of. He averaged 13 points per game. He shot 75% from the free throw line, 36% from three, and 47% overall. Started every game he played. He is a good player. I would say that he is going to supplement Aaron Holiday good off the bench, if that's what we end up going with. If he ends up playing good minutes, which it's a second overall pick, so he might not. But I feel like that was definitely a good player to get in the second round. I actually didn't know too much about him, so last night I was doing research after I saw that the Pacers picked him up, and he does seem like a really solid player. And this is just for all the Pacers fans listening. I know that a lot of you don't want to hear us just talk about every other team in the NBA for for an hour, but he definitely is a really solid player. Doesn't look like he passes the ball too much, and he doesn't look like a great defender. I would even say he doesn't look like a good defender, but he definitely can score. And, I mean, hey, that's the one thing in the NBA that if you can do that enough, you're definitely going to have a spot on a roster.
And the thing about Cassius Stanley is I'm pretty sure he is a freak athlete.
Yeah.
Like, he is a freak athlete.
Like, that's something that the Pacers haven't had in a minute is somebody, like, Victor Oladipo was in the dunk contest and stuff, but just somebody who is going to, like, dunk on somebody, pretty much, is what I'm trying to say. You haven't had, like, even Miles Turner, who is, like, a freakish athlete, doesn't dunk on people. And that is something that I'm actually excited to see, because I really want to see that.
And Cassius Stanley, I've heard of him before. I can't remember what I heard of him for. I'm pretty sure, like, high school a while back, and I'm pretty sure he was just dominating high school. And now he's in the NBA. So after that, I didn't follow him.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really follow high schoolers to college that much.
Yeah.
So
he seems like he's going to be really great.
Yeah. I mean, he just, all I really know about him is that he's a freak athlete.
Yeah.
That's about all.
So back into, what are we going to do? Like around the top 10 or something? Because we obviously can't go all the way into
the 30s. Yeah, no, we can't. No. You want to just do.
I want to get down to 10 because I really want to talk about Obi Toppin and Danny. I still don't even know how to say his last name.
We can just do top 10, yeah.
Yeah, so there was Isaac Okoro, who got drafted for the by the Cavs. Small forward, 6'6", 225. Pretty solid wing player. That's what you've expected from a lot of these picks around this level, because there was a big source of the depth here in this draft, which this is an interesting draft, actually. As far as last year, there were three players that we knew pretty much were going to be stars. And this year, we don't know that these three players are going to be stars. There's not that type of hype surrounding them. But we know that the top three are going to be all solid. And then after that, you do have a lot of people that you can expect to be average to above average, but there really isn't that many players that you would say this dude could be a star or anything. Like, thinking back, Michael Porter Jr., Bol Bol, players like that, that, like, fall in the draft because of an injury or something and would be considered a steal or a risky player. Yeah. And you don't really see that in this draft. You know, there's not really those big names that there have been in the past.
I feel like the only person I can think of off the top of my head that had an injury would be James Wiseman. He's only played three games.
Yeah.
out of all of them.
And I mean,
his entire college year, and he went top three as a second overall pick. Still.
Yeah. I feel like there's not that many underdogs to root for in this, and especially, what was I gonna say? Man, that really escaped me. But it just feels like there aren't those, like, big names. Oh, yeah. I was going to say, I haven't seen, like, highlight reels of any of these dudes circulating around as much or anything. Like,
that's true.
I haven't seen as, like, I still see Zion Williamson college mixtapes or high school mixtapes or Ja Morant college plays or RJ Barrett plays.
Yeah.
But I had to go and look to see Anthony Edwards' highlights, and he was the number one pick. I had to go and have to search around for James Wiseman film. That's usually something that in any other draft you would be getting thrown at me. Like Trae Young, Luka Doncic, everywhere I was going, I was getting barraged with information about Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
But this year, like, I feel like these top draft picks, I'm just really not getting any information about.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean,
there's not as much hype.
Yeah. There is a lot. Usually you always see hype. Back when Kyrie got drafted first overall, you always found Kyrie highlights. LeBron got drafted. You know, it's not with Nike, was straight out of high school, I'm pretty sure. Of course, there was LeBron highlights everywhere, especially since he was coming right out of high school. But now, Anthony Edwards, you know, coming out of Georgia, it's like, I see Anthony Edwards' highlights. I don't see him at a rapid rate.
Right.
Like, as much as I usually would. James Wiseman, I feel like you might have to search for a little more around for that because he only played three games. So, you know, you only have three games worth of highlights from his entire college year.
Right.
LaMelo Ball, I'm sure you can find LaMelo Ball highlights, though, everywhere. I'm sure that's one of the few players in this entire draft.
LaMelo is the one dude that we've been hearing about since high school.
Yeah,
he's been all over the place.
You can find LaMelo highlights anywhere. Type in LaMelo Ball and they'll be all over the place. So, I mean, I do know what you mean, though.
Yeah, and I mean, there's solid players here, but there's nobody that I can look at and I can say that person is definitely going to be a star player.
Yeah.
Like, Zion and Ja Morant last year, I was pretty dang confident that those two were going to be big names in the NBA for quite a while. But I can't really say that about LaMelo Ball because his game, when he was in high school, yeah, it was more about, like, the flashy scoring and stuff. But if you look at his EuroLeague game, he was very solid at getting assists. He would make his jumpers a good amount of the time. And he was just like a solid player. You know, he wasn't the dude that was taking over dropping 90-point games like he was in high school.
I mean, that's pretty obvious. You know, coming just the uprising of it, going from high school to college to the EuroLeague or high school to college to the NBA, obviously you're going to get more mature. I mean, LaMelo back in high school was a kid.
Yeah,
I mean, I know you saw LaMelo back in high school. He was just trying to score a bunch, pulling from half court in the middle of random games, taking contested shots, trying to get ankle breakers.
The reason he played in the EuroLeague is because his brother stole from a gift shop in China on a field trip, and so then he got kicked out of school, and so he moved LeVar Ball moved LaMelo Ball and the middle ball, I don't even know his name, to the EuroLeague to try to play.
And I mean, it worked. And I feel like, honestly, that was a pretty good move. I feel like playing in the EuroLeague grants you more of a competitive edge, kind of, than college, to an extent.
I just feel like if LaMelo would have played in Chino Hills, he would have been at Duke, and he would be the consensus number one overall pick. It would be so different.
I think that if you go to college, you get more hype built around you.
Yeah.
Most definitely, especially if you go to like a college like Duke, UNC, colleges like that.
The thing is, this is the only American I can think of that has been drafted out of the EuroLeague. Isn't that so weird to think about?
That is true.
He's an American. We've been seeing his high school highlights for years now. Even as far back as, I think he was like an eighth grader playing with Lonzo when those three were playing at Chino Hills together. We've been seeing their highlights forever, and now he's finally getting drafted. It's just so weird that he just went to Europe to play. You know?
Yeah.
That's just such a weird, random event to happen. And it was just because LaVar Ball threw a fit.
And like you said, I feel like if he did go to college, he would have been the number one overall pick.
100%.
I think he would have had even more hype put around his name than he already did. I think Anthony Edwards, I think if LaMelo goes to college, he goes to a big name college, I think Anthony Edwards and LaMelo Ball flip spots in the draft. I think James Wiseman will stay at number two, no matter, how the draft is switched up, because the Warriors have been needing a center since 2015.
Yeah.
Since
2000.
Yeah, I mean, for like, since forever.
They had DeMarcus Cousins and they immediately got injured.
Yeah, they had Zaza.
Like 8 games.
Zaza, Pachulia, DeMarcus Cousins, JaVale McGee. I mean, they've needed a center.
Zaza, Pachulia, who tried to kill Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, like they've needed a center forever now. Now they finally have one in James Wiseman. I think that there's no way they were going to pass up on that opportunity to snag James Wiseman right off the board.
Yeah.
So I just, yeah.
I don't know. It's just such a weird move. I hate LaVar Ball so much.
Yeah. I mean, hey, now that Charlotte has LaMelo Ball, maybe we'll get to see that 1v1.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan and LaVar Ball, 1-on-1. Because MJ is the owner.
That would be fun. And I still think that Jordan would win a game of 21-0. because let's look at it logically. Michael Jordan, second best NBA player of all time. And he's only like, what, 55-ish? 60?
He's around there somewhere.
Yeah, sure. I think he's 58. That's my guess.
I'll look it up.
LaVar Ball, same age. He played college ball and averaged 3 points per game.
Was it 3? I thought it was 1.
It's close. They're about the same skill level, I'd say.
Yeah, pretty close.
Yeah, I'd say that they're around the same skill level, you know? I mean, hey, Michael Jordan doesn't have a single son in the NBA out of, like, 3. He's 0 for 3.
Ooh.
Yeah, think about that.
Let's see, Michael Jordan is...
Who's the real GOAT?
There we go. Michael Jordan is 57 years old. How old do you think he is?
My guess is 55.
He's 53.
53, okay.
Four years younger. And he's already bald.
Okay. Well, I think that Michael Jordan is a better basketball player. I think LaVar Ball would win in a 1v1. Just going to real quick bring up a trade that happened. It was pretty late in the draft. Seth Curry, one of the better three-point shooters in the league, got traded to the 76ers for Josh Richardson, which would have been a real nice move if the 76ers aren't about to blow everything up, you know, because they needed shooters, and now, maybe they're going to try to run it back, but the Mavs got the number 36 pick in the draft, so they traded Seth Curry for Josh Richardson, good young player. And they got a pick out of it. So I really think that the Mavs won this
one. I was going to say, I really think the Mavs won. The Mavs are looking for more defense, and they drafted Josh Richardson, who's a great 3-and-D player. I mean, we talked about him numerous amounts of times, before. Can go up, hit the 3 ball, and then is a great defender, just exactly what the Mavs are looking for.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate that they do that they had to trade Seth Curry, because I feel like Seth Curry in the playoffs didn't do bad. He did pretty well, I feel like. I feel like over the past few years, Seth Curry has really done pretty good. Like, I mean, obviously you don't go around and see Seth Curry highlights everywhere, or you go around, you know, Seth Curry isn't trending in the news or anything, isn't trending on Twitter, but, like, he's a pretty good bench player. I feel like he's a very solid bench player.
Yeah, and especially last year, or maybe it was the year before that, he averaged the best three-point percentage. And right now, I think that he has the best three-point percentage in NBA history, barring a amount of attempts. But, yeah, I think that he does right now lead the league history in, or lead all the league ever in three-point percentage, which is pretty crazy. He's a really good three-point shooter, really solid, and he's a good enough defender. And I think that Josh Richardson is going to fit well alongside Luka Doncic. I think that it's a good trade for both teams, but I think that the Mavs won it by a little bit.
Yeah, I do think it's a good trade. I mean, obviously the Sixers are trying to blow it up right now. They're just not. Yeah, I'm assuming they're going to try and blow it up.
I think that that's going to be a really solid player to have next to Joel Embiid, though, or Ben Simmons, because both of them need shooters around them.
Yeah. I just don't like, in my opinion, I really do like Josh Richardson as a player. That's not someone I would want to give away. Just, even if he, like, really just because of his defense.
Yeah, you don't want to give him away, but then at the same time, like, does he really add that much compared to... I would say that he's, like, the perfect above-average player.
Yeah.
Almost. Like, he's almost bootleg Robert Covington.
Yeah.
But I would say that he's definitely not, like, worth... That you can't hang up too much that say he's too valuable, you know? Because ultimately, there's going to be that price point where you trade him, you know?
Yeah.
He's not... Like, I would say that there's role players in the league that are more valuable than him, for sure. I would put maybe, like, Miles Turner, who is a great 3-and-D player, or Malcolm Brogdon, who's not, like, an all-star or anything, but he's definitely more valuable than Josh Richardson. And Devontae Graham, who's younger. It's just, like, he's in a weird spot as far as talent-wise.
I feel like...
He's a solid player, but he's not an all-star or even a great player.
Yeah, I just feel like he's thrown in there with the midst of those players. You named. You know, they're all kind of there together.
And then you forget about him a lot, too.
Yeah, I do. I also agree that you don't hear a lot about Josh Richardson. But moving on from that, we're going to go over a big trade, kind of a blockbuster type trade. Chris Paul got traded to the Suns. It was for Kelly Oubre, Ricky Rubio, I'm pretty sure, and was it two firsts? A first and a second?
Right.
Something around there.
Yeah. There was a lot of moves last night. Not a lot. We've seen definitely crazier draft nights, but what do you think about it?
I would say that with that trade, it really does help out the Suns. Devin Booker and Chris Paul on the same team, a pair of DeAndre Ayton, could really be deadly. I think Braden said something like DeAndre Ayton already has like 5,000 screens set in the NBA.
Yeah.
And like Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan hold the record for like 9,000.
Yeah. Right? It was that Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan had 5,000 together.
Okay.
And then Chris Paul and Blake Griffin had like 4,000 together. And that as of right now, DeAndre Ayton has set 4,000 screens total over two seasons. And so I think that it's just going to be a really nice fit. DeAndre Ayton's going to get a lot more screens, a lot more pick and roll presence. Chris Paul's going to be playing a lot more pick and roll. And also, I did say draft night when I meant to say like draft week, just because this is all picks and stuff getting swapped.
Yeah, and both Chris Paul going there, I just think, you know, you have that backcourt of Devin Booker and Chris Paul, which would be very deadly, as you said.
Right.
You're going to have DeAndre Ayton on pick and rolls to the basket. Oops. You know, bounce passes, anything, you know, nice little passes to set DeAndre Ayton up down low. Chris Paul, shoot, great defender, especially for his size, is a really good defender, great pickpocketer, can get those steals, lead the fast breaks. So I just think the Suns, they did give up Kelly Oubre, and then I'm pretty sure Ricky Rubio got traded right from the Thunder.
Right.
I think he got traded to Minnesota. I'm pretty sure he's going back to the Timberwolves.
Yeah.
And I mean,
lots of moves.
Giving up Kelly Oubre is like big, but at the same time, you know, you're trading for Chris Paul. You're gonna have to give up someone.
Yeah. First of all, Kelly Oubre, fan favorite. And then also on top of that, great offensive player and defensive player.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a great 3-point shooter, but he dunks on people. He plays very solid wing defense. He was somebody that the Warriors were rumored to really want a lot because of that perimeter defense. And that's going to be pretty good at, that's going to be pretty good on the Thunder. Sorry, forgot the team's name.
And
that's going to really help them out as they're starting to try to rebuild.
Yeah, and the thing about the Thunder right now are just going to be running the draft. Like, the next few years' draft, I feel like. I mean, the next upcoming drafts, the Thunder have so many picks. Which started last year with that Paul George trade to the Clippers. And the Clippers just gave them just what seemed like every single pick they had.
Right.
That's what it seemed like.
Right.
And I mean, now looking at that, the Thunder have just been building off of that with picks. Like, every single trade that they are making include first-round picks.
Yeah, the Thunder have thousands, millions.
Billions.
Yeah, they
of have first-round picks.
One pick from every team in the league, it seems like.
Like, the Thunder are going to have, I feel like, what, 3 first-round picks or something like that?
Yeah, like every year for the next 4 years.
Like, I'm pretty sure the Thunder and Pelicans will have at least, like,
half the picks next year.
It seems like, I know it sounds crazy, but the Thunder and the Pelicans have so many picks. I mean, all you're going to be hearing are with this pick, you know, with the first pick and the 2021
the
NBA draft. With
the second pick, the Phoenix Suns.
Like, you're just going to repeatedly hear the same teams over and over.
The Suns have a decent amount of picks. It seems like the Rockets are about to end up with a lot of picks, and it seems like the Thunder already have ended up with a lot of picks. You're going to see the number 1 pick go to the Thunder, the number 2 pick go to the Thunder, the number 3 through 5 go to the Rockets, 6 through 8 are going to go to the Pelicans, and then every other pick's going to the Suns. All these teams have just been collecting. I'm just going to real quick, we're going to get back to the trades in a second, but I'm going to skip over the 6th and 7th picks and go to the 8 and 9 because these are two players that I've been really excited to see. Obi Toppin, who played 4 years in college. He went to Dayton. I think he only played 3, but he is 22 years old, which is pretty old for a top 10 pick nowadays. He's a 6'9 power forward, won the Karl Malone Award, which is awarded to the best power forward in college basketball, and he is a hooper. He gets a lot of boards. He will just dunk on anybody. He's super powerful, super strong, super big. Only 6'9", but he plays a lot bigger than he is. Love watching him play. He is now on the New York Knicks, and I saw Knicks fans unhappy about that, and 2 of them that I saw on Knicks fan pages called him a bust when he is yet to play an NBA game, which I just think is so, so funny.
No, but the Knicks are notorious for doing that. Anyone at the Knicks draft,
Knicks fans are just going to hate immediately.
They're just mad. Now, the thing is, though, Knicks, you know, they did the same thing to Kristaps when he first got paid. They completely booed him. Then he came back, made the Knicks somewhat relevant again, and then proceeded to just leave. Or got traded, I'm pretty sure, to the Mavs. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, nothing too crazy. Also, rumors have it that if you go to the New York Knicks, your career is automatically cut short.
Oh, yeah. It's he's never going to play another game.
For at least a season. And if you get re-signed, it just extends the amount of time that your career will be shortened.
Yeah. And so then Denny Avdija, I want to say is what it is. I'm just going to call him Denny for now. An Israeli basketball player. He was a 3-time Israeli League champion every year that he played in the Israeli League. I'm pretty sure he was a champion, and this last year he won the league MVP. He's been playing there since he was 16 or 17. He is now 19 years old, born in 2001, January 3rd of 2001. Going to be one of the youngest players in the league, one of the only ones born past the year 2000. which I just think is so crazy. He's 6'9". He's a shooting guard or small forward, and he is so good at playmaking. He has like the, he plays like the classic stereotypical European player with like great passes, really good fundamentals. There's obviously some he could work on. When you watch his game film, there's a little that you would hope that he would start to pick up on a little bit more, but definitely a solid pick. He went to the Wizards, which I'm sure Gavin will be excited
I'm
about.
I'm not a Wizards fan.
You're not a Wizards fan anymore?
I've never been a Wizards fan.
Wow.
I've always been a Paul George fan. Believe it. Everyone knows that. You know that.
So you're going to claim to me right now that you were never a Wizards fan.
I was a Wizards fan to troll around.
Look me in the eyes right now, Gavin Miller, and say, I was never a real Wizards fan.
I was never a real Wizards fan.
Okay, that got recorded.
Like, yeah, that I promise you. Boy, you guys have all known for, at least you should have known since the birth of me, that I was a Paul George fan once 2010 hit.
Okay.
Everyone knows that. Once he came out of Fresno State, played point guard number 24 right alongside Danny Granger, got moved to small forward once Danny Granger said, I don't feel like playing basketball anymore. I forgot how to, and I don't want to be good anymore.
Hey, man. Gavin, we know the truth.
I've never been a Wizards fan.
We know the truth.
I think I said I was in middle school in eighth grade.
Wizards really do have a solid with Roy Hamuchera and Denny. I think that that's going to be a solid backcourt. I don't think that either one of them are ever going to be considered like all NBA level players, but I think that both of them could sneak in an all-star appearance in their career. I think that they're just really solid players.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have too much to comment about it. These two players, I don't know too much about them. I'm just leaving it to Braden.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to talk about them.
Gavin, what do you think of the rumors of a Gordon Hayward for Andre Drummond swap?
I don't know. I feel like Gordon Hayward at this point is done. That injury, or like the first game of the season, a couple years ago, just ended him. I think once he went to Boston, it was just all went downhill. Andre Drummond, though, you know, going from the Pistons, getting a lot of talks about him. I would say a lot, but people were talking about Andre Drummond, you know, and now he's on the Cavs and nobody talks about Andre Drummond. His productivity probably did not go down. It's probably just because of the fact that he's playing for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. When was the last time anybody watched a Cavs game on purpose?
And before, right before, you know, when LeBron was there.
Yeah.
That's the last time.
And then every time the Cavs are on, even if they're playing a team that I like I'm not making this up. I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm gonna watch the Pacers game tonight. I'm gonna sit down and I'm really gonna watch this one all the way through, because usually I'll either watch the first half or the second half of Pacers games, and then I'll get so sad because I'll miss Paul George, or I'll just miss us being a really good team, and I'll have to turn it off. But I was like, I'm going to watch the whole thing tonight. It's my duty. Which, I'll watch other NBA games all the way through, but for some reason, Pacers games always bum me out.
He just gets so sad.
But I turned it on. First quarter was about to start, and I just saw the Cavs starting lineup, and I was just like, I'm not watching this. And I turned it back off, and I went to watch the Lakers game.
I mean, I feel like we're bashing all the NBA teams.
I deserve better than
this. We've already took shots at the Cavs, the Knicks. We always take shots at the Sixers. At least Braden does.
Yeah. We'll
probably see that if we haven't already.
There's just so many NBA teams would benefit so much by having me on their coaching staff. Anyway, Warriors star shooting guard Klay Thompson suffered a lower leg injury and is going to undergo tests today to determine severity. Actually, that was yesterday. So what do you, if this ends up being bad, how does this tank the, or how does this affect the Warriors titles? Let's say Klay's out another season.
If Klay were to be out another season.
What do you do
season,
if you're the Warriors?
So if Klay is out another season after tearing his ACL and now injuring his right leg or right Achilles.
Yeah.
Last time
it was his left leg.
Yeah.
And this time it's a right. It's a right leg injury. So yeah. I don't think it's his Achilles. That's good news. I don't think it's the ACL or MCL or Achilles. It looked to be some sort of ankle injury. It could be Achilles, but I'm hoping it's not. That just seems so unlikely to happen.
I just knew he tore his ACL.
Too.
I just remember he tore his ACL last season, and now he hurt his right leg.
Yeah.
Like, and it could be very badly. That's what I heard. But it's, if Klay Thompson were to be out of, another season, which I don't see that happening with this injury, that would just be really unfortunate. I mean, that's two seasons now without Klay Thompson. But what that would mean for Golden State, they can't really, I don't think they would just tank again. I mean, they can't. Let's be honest. They can't do that again.
Yeah.
Because now they have James Wiseman. They're not just going to, I mean, obviously they can still play him, but like, I don't see you drafting somebody. You know, Curry will be healthy now. Steph will be healthy. He wasn't going to be healthy last year. You still have Draymond. You can still run Steph. You can still run Andrew Wiggins, and you still have James Wiseman, who you just drafted now at center. So you have your center. Really, without Klay, that lineup can still work. And then I mean, who would be their forward? You know, who their forward would be? It'd be Curry. Andrew Wiggins.
Curry, Wiggins, then they have Draymond, Anthony Edwards. And let's pull
not
up
Anthony
the,
Edwards.
James not Wiseman. Anthony Edwards. I meant to, yeah, James Wiseman. Yeah. That would be at the five. I'm going to pull up their roster real quick.
It's
because I feel like there's
player.
People I'm missing.
Yeah, there is. There's, I'm just blanking.
Eric on the Pascal, word. Marquise Chris, Kevon Looney, Jordan Poole, Damon Lee, I think that any of those people could be at that three or four spot. I think that they'd probably end up running Curry and then probably put Eric Pascal at shooting guard, Andrew Wiggins at small forward, Draymond at power forward, James Wiseman at center, which isn't a bad starting lineup.
Hearing that Warriors bench, just like, wow. Like, you know that Kobe White, like, when he got drafted, you know, like, why? Like, that's what I'm like.
That's
like,
crazy.
That bench, like, has decreased so much. They've lost so, like, wow. Like, they have lost so much
on
depth
that I've never even heard of. Like, those are the ones that I just recognize.
Like, oh, like, wow. Like
the
I'm
fall from grace.
Like, Marquise Chris, I mean, yeah, everyone knows who Marquise Chris is. You have Eric Pascal. Not everyone knows who that is, but you know, if you do watch a lot of the NBA or just keep up with news, you might know who he is.
Yeah.
I don't really know too much about him. I know he's a bench player. I'm pretty sure he played for Charlotte, I think.
Yeah.
That's really only two. Kevon Looney, actually.
Yeah.
He's played with Golden State for a while now.
He played in the finals and got injured.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he has all of those rings. He played on the team for all those rings.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Lightning round. Danny Green to Philly. Thunder got Al Horford, Valise J. McKeek, a 2025 first round and a 2020 second rounder for Danny Green and Terrence Ferguson. What does this mean for the 76ers now that they have Seth Curry and Danny Green?
That was a great trade for the Sixers. The Sixers have just got rid of such a massive contract. And you might be wondering why they had to give up so much to get Danny Green. I don't think it was necessarily they wanted Danny Green.
They wanted to get rid of Al Horford.
They wanted to get rid of Al Horford's contract. His contract is huge.
Abysmal.
Like,
they paid
huge.
$30 million a year for 3 points per game.
And I'm pretty sure you said they gave away a first-round pick, too. They probably had to give away that first-round pick because there was absolutely no way the Thunder were going to say, yeah, we'll just take that Al Horford contract off of you. You know, with no repercussions, getting nothing else out of it. Yeah. They probably had to throw in that first-round pick. They were like, give us another first-round pick, you know. And also, it's the Thunder. Like we said, the Thunder are getting all the first-round picks.
Yeah.
They're trying to own all 30 picks in the NBA draft, even though not all of them are for next year.
The Portland Trailblazers traded pretty much one-for-one Trevor Ariza for Robert Covington. Does Robert Covington make the Portland Trailblazers a contender? They have Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, and then it would likely be Gary Trent Jr., Robert Covington, and Yusuf Nurkic rounding out the top five.
That's a really solid starting five. Doesn't make them a championship contender, no.
No.
The West is too stacked. Doesn't make them a second-round team? Probably. Honestly, I would say probably. That's a pretty strong starting five. You have Damian Lillard. You know, everyone knows who Damian Lillard is. There's really nothing much to talk about. Average, 50 points per game in like four games of the bubble, something like that. On 60-something percent shooting, ridiculous. I mean, absolutely insane. Damian Lillard, arguably the best point guard in the entire NBA, arguably over Steph Curry. He's either first or second. Then you have CJ, always solid player, probably 20 a game, if not right under there at around 18.9 to 19, rounding up to 20, around there somewhere. Great three-point shooter. That's what I mean. He's just a great offensive player. Then you got a Gary Trent Jr., another great offensive player, a pretty good shooter. I don't know about too much about his defense.
Not great.
Not a great defender.
As a Trailblazers fan who tries to see the best in every single player, Gary Trent Jr., absolutely incredible offensive player. Yeah. I would rather have a ham sandwich on defense.
Okay. Yeah, it's like that sounds like a CJ McCollum. Just a really, really, really good.
He had his moments in the playoffs, but just from regular season, like, people were like, Gary Trent Jr. is playing great defense. Like, he's playing good defense. You guys just haven't seen him play good defense before, and so you're blowing it out of proportion. Legitimately, there have been times that I feel like if we had fans throwing popcorn into the stadium, that it would be more effective than Gary Trent Jr.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, like I said, I don't watch all the Blazers games, but I do know about the Blazers. But Gary Trent Jr., I know he's a really, really good shooter. Great three-point shooter, mid-range shooter, just a great offensive player in general. Then you go now, which you have Robert Covington, who's a great 3-and-D player. He can go down there, you know, get a bucket
probably
for you.
Probably the best in the league.
Best 3-and-D player in the league. I mean, he can go down, hit the three, hit the mid-range, whatever you need him to do. More specifically, the three-pointer, because, you know, he's a 3-and-D player. And then go back on defense. Amazing defender, especially at the power forward position. Can guard multiple positions on the court, which is why I really do think that was a great trade for the Trailblazers. And then you go on, obviously, to Yusuf Nurkic, who's another really pretty good defender, pretty good shot blocker. Can get inside the paint, can get you rebounds. Yeah, can get you all tons of rebounds, a double-double a game.
Yeah, that starting five is kind of scary.
Yeah.
Is James Harden worth Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie, Jared Allen, Nick Clayton, Torian Prince, and every first-round pick that the Nets are allowed
Whoa,
to give them?
Can you repeat what the Nets... James Harden for what?
For Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie, Jared Allen, Nick Clayton, Claxton, excuse me, and Torian Prince, and four first-round picks.
Whoa, will the Nets even have a full roster to compete at that point?
That's the most likely trade for James Harden.
That's ridiculous. That does not seem...
According to Kevin O'Connor, Brooklyn is throwing in, quote, the kitchen sink at Houston. They will give everything they have besides Kyrie and KD.
No. That's not what you do.
DeAndre Jordan is also off the table.
I'm going to say right now, that's not what you do. That is not what you do if you are the Nets. If you're the Nets, honestly, and you want James Harden that bad, you should really just trade Kyrie. I'm going to be honest with you. Here's why I say that. One, if you do that trade, you're giving away Caris LeVert, as you said, Spencer Dinwiddie, and Jared Allen. We'll forget about the rest of it. Forget about the picks. Those three players, your starting center, your backup guard, who's a pretty good backup guard, and Spencer Dinwiddie, Caris LeVert, your backup shooting guard, who would be really good. The Nets cannot give up all of that depth, and then just assume that those three players, even though they're all three phenomenal players and great scorers, yeah, arguably two of them are arguably some of the greatest scorers in NBA history. If you don't already put Kevin Durant as the greatest scorer in NBA history, you might put him behind Kobe or in front of Kobe because Kevin Durant's an insane scorer. But aside from that, you give away all that depth. Those three players, as good as they are, you still need a supporting cast to win a ring. I mean, like, you can't just go out, take Kyrie, James Harden, and KD throw on the same team and expect a ring if everyone else on the team is just irrelevant. You know what I mean? And even will that team even work? That's another thing I feel like you have to think about. Those are three ball dominant players.
There's only one ball.
Yeah, there's only one ball in an NBA game. There's three dudes who average, two of them probably average 30 a game. I mean, that's not going to happen with one ball. And then you're not, let alone Kyrie, who's probably going to average 25. So, like, That's not going to work. Those numbers are going to have to drop. They're not all three off-ball players.
Bogdan Bogdanovich had gotten sign-and-trade deal to the Bucks for Ersan Ilyasova, Dante DiVincenzo, and a couple others. I think there was a pick thrown in there as well. But then last night, Bogdan Bogdanovich said he never agreed to that and that it most likely wouldn't be happening. If you are Dante DiVincenzo, how are you feeling right now after you are still on the Bucks roster 2 days after supposedly you got traded.
Well, real fast, you are listening to this at WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis.
That is true.
Just wanted to get that out there really fast. But Dante Divin, what, DiVincenzo, is that his name? All right. Dante DiVincenzo still being on the Bucks. I mean, knowing that they were willing to trade you and that you're just left on the team now probably is a little awkward, I would think. I mean, can you imagine if a team tried to I mean, that's the same, like, I feel like situation with James Harden. James Harden wants to be traded, but what if the Rockets just said, no, you're playing for us? Yeah. Isn't that a little awkward? I feel like it's the same thing, except for flipped. Like, you're going to be traded, but now, no, you're staying. Like, it was all over, like,
At practice next Wednesday, do you think it's going to be a little awkward for DiVincenzo to be getting shots up next to Giannis when Giannis really thought that he was about to have his friend Bogdanovich get traded over for him?
I mean, like... Maybe. I mean, it probably is awkward. Imagine,
think about this. Because Bogdan Bogdanovich and Giannis are really good friends in real life. There's like pictures of them together hanging out and stuff. They're good friends. Both young European people. So the Bucks try to trade you, Gavin Miller. Let's say they try to trade you for my friend. They're trying to, on this show, trade you out for my other friend. Let's say that Andre's going to be new on the pick and slip. You find out about that, and everybody's like, yeah, Andre's coming over, and then Gavin's going to leave. And then next Thursday, we're still here.
I mean, yeah, that would be I mean, yeah, that would definitely be awkward. I mean, there's no questions about that. I do think it will be awkward. But there is always a thing that Bogdanovich would have not agreed to that. Because he wanted to go into free agency to get a bigger contract from the Bucks.
Yeah, and maybe he could just sign there himself, you know?
Yeah, I mean, maybe he doesn't want to be traded. Maybe, I mean, there's always that thing, you know, maybe he's playing it smart. Maybe he doesn't want, you know, the Bucks to have to give anything up for him. And then he'll just go in free agency, sign with the Bucks, so they don't have to, you know what I mean? Yeah, play that really smart, because he could just do that. And I saw, you know, rumors, obviously rumors are just rumors, and free agency hasn't started yet, and it's not starting for a little while.
Yeah,
but there's still rumors going around that's like, you know, Bogdanovich was just not, he didn't agree to the sign and trade simply because he wants to sign there in free agency and keep the roster how it is and not hurt it in any way.
Yeah. Danny Green for Dennis Schroeder. The Lakers have Dennis Schroeder now. How is that going to work out for them?
Dennis Schroeder on the Lakers, I really do think that's a great fit, honestly. Schroeder,
is he going to start?
Is he going to start? Probably.
Because they did have LeBron at point guard. Do you think they're going to move him back to his natural position of small forward and have Schroeder start?
I would do that.
Or would they? Do you think maybe they would push him to shooting guard and then move KCP to small forward?
Nah, I think they would throw LeBron at forward again. I think starting Schroeder and having LeBron, because LeBron can play any position on the floor, if we're being honest.
LeBron,
I
mean, could be center and AD could be power forward, really.
Yeah, like LeBron can really play any position on the floor. So I just think throwing him back at forward, you know, his natural position is a fine move. And then starting Schroeder at the point guard position, KCP maybe throw him at the shooting guard. You have Anthony Davis at the four, JaVale McGee, Dwight Howard rotate into that five spot. And I would say Dennis Schroeder, pretty good defender, can score the ball, you know. He's a good all-around player, I would say. Can shoot. I don't really know his shooting split, so I'm not going to. I think he can. I think he's a decent shooter. I'm pretty sure Dennis Schroeder is a good shooter.
He's getting better. He was pretty bad.
I'm pretty sure, though, he's now like he's developing. He's average. Yeah, like I'm pretty sure he's. Yeah, because I don't know his exact like percentages and shooting splits or anything, so. I'm not going to like go on the record and say Dennis Schroeder is a godly shooter if he's not. You know what I mean? He's a great shooter, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure he's just an average shooter at this point, like Brayden said. But I think he can also, with that team he's around, with Anthony Davis and just being around LeBron in general, boost you to an extent. I feel like if he can do it with that Thunder team, not saying that Thunder team was bad or anything, he can definitely do it with the Lakers team, you know, getting the ball down low to AD and just letting AD do what he does. Oops to LeBron, vice versa, oops to AD. Nice little crossovers, assist, kicks it out to KCP, who can hit that corner three, because he finally started doing them once he hit the finals. KCP, you know, if you guys don't know who KCP is, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. just starts hitting all those threes. I mean, I know you were watching the finals against the Heat, and KCP was a great spot-up shooter all of a sudden.
Yeah,
hitting a lot of his shots.
That's always what he's been good at. It's just that for some reason, every time that I watch the Lakers, and it feels like when a lot of people watch the Lakers, he just can't do it. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Those nationally televised games, KCP just absolutely plays awfully.
Yeah.
All right, I have two more questions before we wrap up for the day.
Yep, go ahead.
So, number one, the Memphis Zoo just bought, or there was a new baby giraffe brought into the zoo, or maybe it was born there. I don't know all the details. Its new name is Ja Raff, named after Ja Morant. Is that funny?
Is that funny?
Yeah, is it worth
Ja Raff?
Yeah.
For Ja Morant?
Yeah.
I don't really know if it's funny. I don't even think it makes sense, if we're going to be honest. Ja Raff?
It's like giraffe.
Yeah,
it's a giraffe.
It's Ja Raff.
It's Ja Raff.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
Because it's Ja Morant.
I understand the jaw part.
Yeah.
But
is that
Raff and Morant?
Was it worth it?
I mean, it's the zoo. So maybe it is worth it. The zoo is for everyone.
Do you think
but
they're going to get some more ticket sales because of that? Do you think people are going to come to see Ja Raff?
I think they honestly will. Like, honestly, this
if I'm in Memphis now, I'm definitely going to have to check out Ja Raff.
If we're being honest, that is probably pretty smart. It's I don't know if it's funny, but here's not anything too crazy.
I want to see this giraffe wearing a Ja Morant jersey. Then
that
would be pretty cool.
I'm going to be honest. If Ja Raff had a Ja Morant jersey on, like, I don't even know how that would work. If he just had one over his back or something, like, I don't know how it would work. I mean, I have no clue how that would work. But, like, imagine if he did.
Yeah.
Like, just if they got, like, a...
That'd be pretty funny and great.
If they got a huge Ja Morant jersey just to throw over the back of him or something and, like, get it to stick, like... That would be...
I'd love that.
Crazy.
Yeah. I think that'd be great, and I think they should do that. And I'll be the first one in line to see Ja Raff once your zoo's open back up Memphis.
I do think that Ja Raff will get more ticket sales, though, because I feel like a lot of kids now, if they do like basketball or if they're like Memphis fans...
I love Ja Morant, man.
Everyone likes Ja Morant.
Yeah, Ja Morant is great.
His story is really good,
too. Okay, final question of the day.
Yeah.
Chris Paul was traded to the Thunder. We talked about that earlier.
Yeah.
If you are the Phoenix front office and you just traded for Chris Paul, why'd you do that?
Why'd I do it?
Yeah.
Well, real fast, before I answer that question, did you know Chris Paul was planning on going back to the Clippers before he got traded?
That's actually pretty cool. That would be a fun one.
He said before he got traded, or once he got traded, he said he was planning on going back to the Clippers before he got traded to Phoenix.
I did not know that.
Yeah, that's what he said. But anyway, going back, if I'm Phoenix, why did I trade for Chris Paul? I think if I'm Phoenix, I'm trading for Chris Paul simply because of the fact that I don't want Devin Booker to leave. And I need another proven superstar, another proven really good player that I need to pair alongside Devin Booker. And of course, he gets Chris Paul, a really solid point guard from what we've seen throughout his entire career now, especially last year with OKC, taking that OKC team, which everyone thought was just going to be really bad. And now just took him almost to the second round, almost beating the James Harden-led Rockets team, which was unheard of at the beginning of the season, in my opinion. Nobody really thought the Thunder were going to do anything. And now that you see him paired in the backcourt with Devin Booker, I say they just did that more because I think the Suns are finally starting to realize like what they need to do at this point. And the type of players they can get, like, they don't need a Kevin Durant. They don't need a LeBron James. They don't need a James Harden. You can win a ring just built around a solid team. Right. I mean, the Pacers, they have Domantas Sabonis, right? But is Domantas Sabonis a superstar? Be honest.
No.
No, he's not. The Pacers really just have a solid all-around team. Like, Victor Oladipo, Domantas Sabonis, Malcolm Brogdon, TJ Warren, Miles Turner, Aaron Holiday. Now they have Cassius Stanley. Like, they just kind of have an all-around team, especially like coming off the bench and stuff. And I feel like the Suns can do that. But the thing is, the Suns do have a superstar now, in my opinion. And, you know, an up-and-coming superstar in Devin Booker.
Yeah.
So, and now, really, they also have DeAndre Ayton. All they really need now is to get some solid bench players, I feel like, and get some more solid, you know, defensive players and stuff like that. And they're contending. Because I feel like, in my opinion, the Suns could really make the playoffs now.
Right.
Even if it's not like a super high seed, I think the Suns have finally made that jump from where we've been in the bottom of the standings for the last, what feels like, 80 years. Now to
when okay, was the last time the playoffs. Suns had a winning season? I'm about to look that up.
Since, I think it was the last time Steve Nash played.
When was the last? I'm just going to see when like, we're in the playoffs.
When would that have been? Like 2000, what? Like 8?
2010. It's been a decade.
2010?
It's been a decade.
So 2 years off. But yeah, I just think the Suns make that trade because they're trying to please Devin Booker for one. They don't want him to leave.
I think they also just want something.
Yeah,
they, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I cannot imagine being a fan of a team that hasn't made the playoffs in a decade. I can't imagine. Like, remember when Jaguars fans were putting bags over their faces?
Yeah.
That's how I would feel if I was a Suns fan. I could not show my face if I was a Suns fan. I could not confidently stand here and have a basketball show and look you in the eyes, Gavin Miller, and say, I am Braden Pittman, and I enjoy watching the Phoenix Suns. I couldn't. I would rather not do this, you know? I'd really like, if I was a Phoenix Suns fan, the last thing I would want to do is talk about basketball and talk about how good other teams are doing.
Yeah, and I mean, like, the Suns, yeah, I couldn't imagine, like, not being a fan of a winning team, but then again, like, I could. If you were, like, really loyal.
I mean, yeah, you were just a fan of the Clippers.
Yeah. And, like, that's terrible. Like, I'd rather be a fan of the Suns than being a fan of the Clippers right now. It's not even close.
Yeah, the Suns haven't blown a 3-1 lead in 10 years.
Yeah, they haven't blown a 3-1 lead in 10 years. Let's think about that for a second. Whoa, hold on.
10 years at least.
Does that mean that both the Jazz and the Clippers are actually worse than the Suns?
That could be true.
And the Warriors?
That could be true as well.
And the Thunder? Whoa.
Yeah.
That means that the Suns, if you're a Suns fan, it's actually confirmed that the Phoenix Suns are better than the Golden State Warriors, Oklahoma City Thunder, Utah Jazz, and the Los Angeles Clippers.
Haven't even blown a 3-1 lead. Confirmed.
Yes, have not blown a 3-1 lead in the last 10 years.
8-0 in the bubble.
Actually, you guys have never blown a 3-1 lead now. I'm thinking about it.
All right. That's all I have.
Yeah, that's all really I have to say. I don't think there's really anything else to talk about. Do you have anything off the top of your head that has happened?
Next week should be exciting, and we're going to have a lot more free agency news.
Yeah, there will be more trades.
There's going to be some more trades, too. Maybe, I think free agency is about to open up, so this should be fun.
Maybe James Harden will be a Net.
Yeah, James Harden. Russell Westbrook could end up a Pacer. That would be... I could not stop talking about that if that happened. That would be
like in a good way or a bad way.
Oh, that would be great. No, genuinely, I think that would be great.
I can see what you mean. I don't think that the Pacers have... One more thing. The thing with the Pacers is that the Pacers... We're going to be honest. Pacers fans hate Paul George. But if we're going to, like, keep it real here, like, keep it real. If we're going to keep it real, the Pacers have not made it out of the second round.
Haven't made it out of the first round.
Since Paul George played for that team. And that was the last time they had a superstar. Maybe if they get Russell Westbrook, they can get out of that first round.
Russell Westbrook for Sabonis. The Rockets are trying to boost back up their three-point shooting again. So I think that it'd be real nice.
I'm telling you, maybe if the Pacers would just get a superstar, they would make it out of the first round. But they don't want to do that.
And I think Texas fans would be real happy with Sabonis.
Telling you, they don't want to do that. Yeah, that's all really I have to say, Braden. That's all you have to say.
Yeah, that's about it. Draft was fun.
Draft was really fun to watch. I'm excited to see how all of those players do coming into the NBA this upcoming season.
We're going to be able to not only have an off-season episode, have all these off-season episodes aired, but then we're going to be right back after a winter break. NBA is going to be back in full swing. So that's exciting.
I really cannot wait for this upcoming season. A lot of the league has changed. After every offseason, the league is always so much more fun to see.
The first 2 months after the offseason is always the most exciting for me.
We might have to do our rankings.
Yeah,
like early. We did best players, top 10 players at each position, like that'll we did the beginning of last season.
And then see how it changes by the end of it.
Yeah.
All right.
That'd be fun. But thank you guys so much for watching. Make sure you guys check out Braden's show right after this.
Thank you.
No problem if you guys stay. It's a really good show. This show will be going up on Audio Boom at WBDG Indy. And also, one more thing. Usually we don't say this, but me and Braden will be doing the Warren Central at Ben Davis girls varsity basketball game. Yep. I'll be doing play-by-play. Brayden will be doing color.
That's game at starts, 7:30.
Yep, game starts at 7:30 tonight. Make sure you guys tune into that. And that's all I have to say. Thank you, Brayden, for being on the show. And
thanks for having me.
Peace. Put it up, put it up now. Put it up, put it up, put it up now. Put it up, put it up.